The following podcast contains explicit language and content that may not be suitable for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Get Spooky Podcast, where two married guys share stories of paranormal encounters, urban legends, true crime, and other scary things from around the world. I'm Andres.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're back. After the Spanish episode.
Yeah. After our Austin trip.
Yeah. It was cool.
That was fun.
Yeah.
So, in case you guys don't follow us on Instagram or social media, we went to Austin for Andres' birthday, and it was fun.
I'm 33.
And we went on a ghost tour.
We that did really go on fun. A ghost tour. And we ate Korean barbecue.
Yes. We went to the Driscoll for the first time. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I've never heard of it. But Ashley, our friend of the pod, recommended it to us. And because I guess it's like a local thing that it's like considered one of the most haunted locations in Austin. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool.
Our tour guide ended up being like the tour guide that usually does the murder stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a lot of like ghost stories with like true crime mixed in, and it was very interesting.
Yeah.
We don't want to ruin it for anybody that is going to go and do the Austin trip, but there was some very interesting information that we were told about Jack the Ripper. And I definitely suggest that if you are in Austin, shut the fuck up.
You spoiled it already.
What does Austin have to do with Jack the Ripper? I guess you're just gonna have to go on the tour.
You're gonna have to go on, yeah.
You're gonna have to go on the tour. You'll see. Anyways, so I'm 33 now.
Cool. Well, actually, while we were there, we actually got to meet Aiden from the Susto podcast.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say, I'm 33 now, and we got to meet Aiden from Susto.
Yeah. So in case you guys don't listen to his podcast, you should definitely check it out.
He puts a lot of work into his podcast. He puts us to shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
And I really like how, like, he had, like, a presentation about, like, crafting
yes.
like, the Latinx podcast.
It just so happened that the weekend we were there was South by Southwest, so there was a lot of South by Southwest events going on. And I think that was part of it, too. That,
no,
like,
it wasn't.
It wasn't.
That was separate.
It just happened to be, like, arts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hosted by the university, so.
Yeah, we bought several books while we were there. There's like independent artists or artists that are just starting out, graphic novelists and things like that. It was super interesting. I really liked it.
It was like a BIPOC symposium. So
yeah.
It was primarily focused on creators, like people of color that put their like art out there, so.
Yeah, we listened to we listened to some panelists for almost an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about like representation in comic books and different types of characters and like how people can help or hinder BIPOC people and adding them into like, you know, adding the representation into comics. And then afterwards was Aiden's presentation, and that was really cool. It was more like intimate. There was less people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool.
I learned a lot. It was cool.
Yeah, I did too. I guess that's what happens when you get an edumacation and you're not a burro like us. Or like me, I guess.
Hello?
I'm a burro.
What else was I going to say?
We're moving and our house is a fucking mess.
Oh, yeah.
It's like we've thrown so much stuff away. We've donated a lot. And then now like our house is, there's furniture everywhere. There's clothes everywhere.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems really real now. I wrote my letter of resignation today at work so I can turn it in later in the week. Mm-hmm. And that was a little weird to do first thing on a Monday morning.
But shit, what better time to quit than on a Monday morning?
Well, it was like, I came in from the weekend. We had a good weekend, and it's not like I hate my job that much, but
that's a job.
It's a job. And I like wrote it out, and I was like, wow, I've been here for 2 years and now I'm leaving. I honestly thought I was going to be at that job for a lot longer than like things have taken us.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I mean, it's not your fault. It's like just like las vías de la vida. They take us to different
places. Los caminos de la vida. No son como yo
pensaba.
No son como imaginaba.
Exactly.
No son lo que yo creía.
Yeah.
And now everyone's crying.
Yeah. Also, my other favorite song is Oye Cucu, Papa Se Fue, Prende La Luz.
What the fuck?
I don't know how the fuck that song goes. It's a little boy. His dad leaves in the middle of the night and he's crying to his mom and saying, hey, turn the lights on. Dad left. And
well, the way you were singing it, you were like, help me, help me. I'm melting. Help me.
Like, oh, that's like, how it sounded. Like, I sounded like a Reddit video.
Yeah.
Am I the asshole?
Am I the asshole? Yeah.
Anyways, so it's been pretty fun.
We've been like these past few weekends, we've just been primarily focusing on like going out with friends and saying like goodbye, which is kind of depressing, honestly.
It has been really sad.
I don't think like sometimes it's not even bye forever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think life has a funny way of reuniting a lot of people, especially when like they mean so much to someone, like,
yeah,
they're bound to cross paths again.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like, not to be kind of like fucked up or anything, but I feel like I've grown a lot, and it took me us moving to realize that I have grown a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was always like, oh, somebody's moving away, and I'd be like selfish, and I'm like, I want them to stay, or I want them to do well, but not that well, because it makes me feel jealous of them. But genuinely, like, everyone in our lives is doing so well and moving on and doing different things, and I cannot be happier for them. And when I was younger, I was a little fucking hater. I was a little jealous bitch. Yeah. A little jealous asshole. I think therapy has helped me work through that, honestly.
That's good.
Yeah.
I need therapy.
And I'm being honest
and now a word from our sponsor.
And open with you guys about me being a hater.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I think we're pretty open. We share a lot. Yeah. I feel like what am I trying to say? Sometimes I'm scared of meeting, like, our listeners.
Our primos and primas?
Yeah, only because, like, it is a little scary, and, like, because we are so vulnerable on here, where it's, like, if I do meet someone like that, they know more about me than I know about them.
Yeah. I want to know.
That's just all me. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. You guys aren't doing anything wrong.
I want to know everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Maybe we'll start doing like, Aiden inspired me, and maybe we should start doing like events when we move.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Or when we travel. I don't know. Like a meet and greet, but less meet and more just hang out at the park. I don't know. Oh, that reminds me. While we were in Austin, I had the idea of starting a TikTok account for the podcast.
Yeah.
So you guys should follow us on. I've posted one video, dude.
Posting, yeah.
So if you guys have a TikTok, our at is Get Spooky Podcast, all one word. Kind of like Instagram. But it's funny that happened, because literally the next following week, the House of Representatives passed legislation that could have possibly outlaw it. So yep. I'm like, okay, this feels like a personal attack, Joe
Biden.
When
we fucking jump on the TikTok fuck? Train, they're like, get the fuck out of here.
They're like, oh, gotta go. Yeah, it felt like a personal attack. What the fuck?
I don't know if I talked about this last time, but a couple of other people sent us their podcast pets. I think I might have mentioned them. The sugar glider named Red Bull.
Aww. I don't remember, but that's okay.
And then that's a bearded dragon named Sylvester.
Those are so good names, honestly. Red Bull, that's good.
Wow. It makes me sad because sometimes I'm like, so I asked for those pets like several episodes ago, and people were like, I missed it. I just listened to the episode. Can I still send my pet in? And I'm like, yeah, send pictures too while you're at it. If you're going to tell me the name, you got to send pictures.
That's true.
Because I want to know. I want to know what they look like.
That reminds me, well, we were having technical issues yesterday when we were getting ready to record.
AKA the neighbor playing music.
Technical issues. And I posted a picture of Leo, and someone actually messaged, I'm sorry, I don't know who it was, but someone messaged us, and they're like, this is not how I pictured Leo.
He's white passing.
Oh, yeah. They said he was white passing. He was white passing. Yeah. So Leo is like a very light orange.
Yeah.
Almost like very sandy color.
Yeah.
And he has like a white, like white fur on his chest, and he has little white boots. So.
And his little toes are pink.
Yes. So that's my son.
He doesn't know how to shut the fuck up.
How would you describe Venus, though?
My daughter?
Yeah.
A queen, a Latina.
I meant her color.
Oh. The fuck? She's la Latina.
She's dark brown.
She's a tabby. She's a mackerel tabby. She's like, when you think regular cat, that's what, like, she's what you think of a regular cat.
No, she's not.
Yeah. Like, when you think of, like a street cat, you think of, like, that cat with, like, that's kind of brown and kind of dark gray and black and has the stripes. Yeah. And they look kind of dirty.
Yeah, like, that's my daughter.
That cat has fleas.
Yeah.
They look kind of mean. Yeah, that's my daughter.
Yeah, my daughter is dark brown with, like, little black stripes sometimes. A few little spots of, like, orange, but overall still dark.
She's got a little bit of peanut butter.
Three of her paws are black and one pink.
It's the one that has the white boot. She has one foot that has like white spots on it, and that's the one that has the pink toes.
Yeah, maybe we'll post a picture of them if we can get them like together.
They keep fighting. I know we're moving.
Yeah, I think they're getting anxious.
Yeah, they're like, "Where's our shit? Where's my bed? Why is there stuff everywhere?"
I'm just going to jump into our case. So did you?
You're hopping and jumping and skipping?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, we're a few minutes in, so.
Sure.
Usually it's like 10, 15 minutes of us talking. So.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So.
I'm ready.
I'm excited for this one.
Okay.
Because I've had it on the list for a while.
Okay. I'm anxious.
So this is La Casa del Salto de Tequendama. Have you heard of it?
It's in Colombia.
How do you know?
Because you are very loud about the cases that you're going to do. And I keep begging you not to tell me what you're doing.
Oh, I'm sorry that I'm so excited.
Yeah. Okay, so you can tell me the details now because I've been avoiding you for days.
He hasn't talked to me in days. No, I'm just kidding. my sources are All That's Interesting article by Marco Margaridoff, La Mega article by Maria Camila Torres Cepeda, a YouTube video by Master Movi, a YouTube video by Sin Rol Especifico, a YouTube video by Soy Tiago Radio, a YouTube video by Psicosis Always, and Wikipedia. And honestly, more than half of my sources are YouTube, primarily because anytime I tried searching for this, a lot of the Spanish cases weren't really that detailed. And I think they were mainly used for like touristy purposes. A lot of TripAdvisor.
Yeah, anytime I read like a case and I'm like, let me look up some sources in Spanish. And it's like, este señor mató personas. Lo metieron a la cárcel.
Yeah, they're quick and to the point.
Yeah, it's like, that's it.
Yeah, like I want
a full story. And I guess like, maybe it's the difference between like, how true crime is reported in the United States where it's sensationalized. And maybe Mexico or like Spanish countries where like, maybe it's getting to be sensationalized, but not yet. Does that make sense? That.
Yeah.
Like in English news sources, it's like they get into the details. He stabbed her 15 times, dragged her across the house. There was blood splattered everywhere. He shut the door on her head. Like,
yeah, it was in like Latin America, they don't mind it, but they'd rather not go into detail.
Yeah,
they'll plaster the pictures on front page of a newspaper, but they'll never get into details. They'll be like,
yeah,
this person killed that and or that person. That's it. So I do have some content warnings. There is mention of suicide, death, car accidents, and decapitation. So this is also called the Hotel del Salto or La Casa Museo del Salto de Tequendama. And it is located in San Antonio del Tequendama, Colombia. It's located in the municipality of Soacha, which is about 30 kilometers southwest of Bogota, Colombia, which is the capital and the largest city in the country. The building was built on a cliff that overlooks the 157-meter-tall Tequendama Falls on the Bogota River. It's pretty isolated, so I wasn't able to find anything around it besides like really beautiful scenic spots. Remember how I told you that I wanted to, like, if I do a location, I want to, like, check the places around it?
Yeah.
This was very hard because it's very isolated. But I will say, a lot of the pictures that I saw, the scenic parts are so pretty.
It's like up in the mountains, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. In terms of history, the area has a pretty grim past. It's an important part of the Muisca people's creation story. And during the Spanish conquest of the Americas in the 1500s, the Muisca people native to the area supposedly would leap from the Tequendama Falls to avoid being captured. The legend says that the Muisca people transformed into eagles when they leapt, but realistically, they all fell to their deaths. Another legend says that the Muisca people used to take their prisoners of war to this waterfall to torture them, and then eventually force them to jump over the cliff. In the early 20th century, the president at the time, Pedro Nel Ospina, ordered the construction of a railway stop in this area. So he had the house built in 1923 and construction finalized in 1927. The building is a huge five-level house sitting on 470 square meters of land that served as a hotel. It was named El Hotel del Salto, translated as the Hotel of the Leap. So a salto is like a leap. They didn't cut any corners for the hotel, making it as extravagant as possible. The exterior was painted ochre yellow, which is like a dark mustard yellow. It had a very ornate Gothic style, which was a very unique building style for the time. And it had a huge ballroom, bars, a restaurant, two bedrooms, and several other luxurious amenities. During the 1940s, it was the most popular tourist attraction in Colombia. Due to political violence in the mid-20th century, tourists arriving at the hotel diminished drastically. Years after that, the Bogota River became so polluted that it basically became a river of sewage water that caused the restaurant to close and be abandoned. The hotel fell in disrepair really bad and finally closed all business in 1990. In 1994, Maria Victoria Blanco and Carlos Cuervo bought huge parts of the land nearby that included the house for preservation purposes, with the donation of 300,000 euros from the European Union, the house was refurbished and restored. While rebuilding the house, they found a hidden safe that contained artifacts from the Muisca people that prompted the couple to reopen the building as a museum. It was renamed La Casa Museo del Salto de Tequendama and officially opened in 2016. So
recently...
Yeah. So that was a general history of it, but now we're going to turn to the more scary things. Please remember the content warnings that I gave at the beginning. So backing up a little, but throughout the late 19th century and the early 20th century, the Tequendama Falls was considered to be a very infamous location for suicide. In the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, there were at least one or several reported suicides daily in the area. During this time, there was a photographer that would take the photos of the person moments before they took their own life.
Why would he do that?
To me, it was weird, but hold on. Yeah, because when I first read it, I was like, that's fucked up. They would pay the photographer to take their photo, even posing for them, and then write a message on the back of it before they jumped. This photographer would then deliver the photo to the person's relatives. According to the photographer, the majority of the reasons for why someone would jump was due to economic and financial reasons. But there were some more uncommon ones that they claimed that they were called to the area from other parts of the country to jump from the top of the waterfall. Sorry, that did not make it better, actually. But he hand-delivered these pictures to, family relatives. And, the message on the back were always, sentimental. And it's like, hey, and I love you to their family and things like that.
He's still profited off of it. Yeah, and instead of calling the police and saying, hello, somebody's going to jump off.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. That's
a little weird.
It is, yes.
That's a lot weird, actually, not just a little bit.
Yeah. So there were two major, the more common reasons for using this location in particular. And again, this is grim. The first one being that during the time, buildings weren't very tall. So the height of the waterfall guaranteed that someone would not come out alive. Second being that the lake at the base of the waterfall was believed to be a portal to the other world. So over time, it gained a reputation of being the basis of several local ghost stories, and locals refer to it as El Lago de los Muertos, or the Lake of the Dead. The body of anyone that jumped from the waterfall during this time was said to never be found, most likely because it was difficult retrieving the bodies. It actually wasn't until like the 1960s when the government started like retrieving bodies in the area. According to the locals, anyone that jumps from the waterfall to complete suicide or is killed there is condemned to wander the earth forever, and they believe that the area carries a heavy energy that draws people in from far away, causing them to wander, eventually arrive at the top, and makes them want to jump with no apparent reason. This has actually been seen several times, where some visitors claim to feel very calm there, but then they get like a sudden rush, like an urge to run and jump over the edge of the cliff.
What if that cliff is on a ley line?
Maybe.
Or like an energy vortex.
Yeah. I don't know anything about ley lines. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know. I feel maybe like we'll I'm do too an episode old. About them. I feel like I'm too old now. I missed my chance to ask.
Let me do some Google searches for you, and we can talk about this on another day.
Okay. Off the air.
Google is free.
Yeah. In terms of the hotel, there are several reports from people staying at the hotel that would see figures of people roam around at night, just outside. And sometimes they would see shadowy figures or ghostly white figures leaping from the top of the waterfall. Adding to the paranormal activity in the area, due to how narrow the roads leading to the buildings are, many fatal car accidents happen in the vicinity. Because of this, locals believe that the spirits of those that died can still be seen roaming the area and are sometimes seen running across the street as cars approach them. One of the most notable apparitions is that of a nun that appears at the hotel at night, who people believe to have been a nun who was beheaded and died in a fatal car accident. With the building and the waterfall's history, the area is actually used currently for black magic.
I have a question.
What?
Was she beheaded and then got into a car accident? Or like the car accident happened and then she was beheaded? Or was she beheaded in the car accident and died of a fate? Like,
yeah, that one. She was beheaded at the time of the car accident. Sorry.
Okay.
Like a lot of my sentences are like Frankenstein together. So I didn't like fix a lot of the order and I'm sorry. But yeah, sorry. So, with the building and waterfall's history, the area is actually used for black magic. Amarres are performed and later buried nearby or tied in the trees surrounding the top of the waterfall.
Hell no.
The amarres can be anything. Hell no. So, sometimes it looks like there are dolls tied to the trees. They give it like a strange vibe, kind of like the Isla de las Muñecas. People that have visited the top of the waterfall claim that they sometimes feel like someone pushes them towards the edge. This area also has several signs reading, "Tus problemas tienen una solución," or "Your problems have solutions," and other signs referencing religion and family.
This is reminiscent of Aokigahara last episode.
Yep. I thought of that
too. Very strange.
Also at the top, there is a statue of the Virgin Mary. Locals believe that if you pray to her, she blinks, moves her hands, or even cries. Supposedly, the voices encouraging people to jump sound like they come from the statue.
Okay, that is also weird.
In 1986, a group of people local to the area attempted to set the building on fire, claiming that it was cursed and harbored evil spirits. After the hotel and restaurant officially closed its doors in 1990, a man by the name of Jose Ignacio Pareja was hired to live on site as a caretaker for the abandoned building. That same year, he was interviewed by reporters when he shared that he would often hear music coming from the first floor ballroom at night. He would also hear disembodied voices, people whispering to each other, or the sound of wailing throughout the house. It was common at night to see the apparitions of those that had jumped from the waterfall or in the surrounding area. When he was later interviewed, he said the following. Bueno, el primer día que yo llegué realmente pues sentí mucho miedo. En ninguna parte he sentido, digamos, cosas extrañas como las que he sentido aquí. Pues me sentía que puertas se abrían, ventanas que se abrían, que las cerraban, que nos seguían, que en donde estábamos nosotros nos estaban vigilando. The first day I arrived, I felt really, I felt very afraid. Nowhere have I felt, let's say, strange things like what I have felt here. Well, We felt or heard doors opening, windows opening or closing, that we were being followed, that wherever we went, we were being watched. As of 2023, Jose Ignacio is still the caretaker, but he doesn't do interviews. Several groups and organizations have launched paranormal investigations in the area with very unsettling results. Most recently, in 2015, a group called El Cartel Paranormal recorded a live investigation at midnight. They heard crying and the scream of a woman, but were unable to tell if it was paranormal or just people in the area. Many of the spirits they were able to communicate through the use of a spirit box were victims of car accidents of varying ages. One of them was a man named Mateo, who piqued the investigators' interest after the spirit claimed he was filming a documentary in the area, but slipped and fell into the canyon. Another one was a man who had actually died not too long ago because, according to investigators, had a very strong energy. The spirit confessed that he was ashamed and was able to communicate that he had taken his own life after his family had rejected him.
Who had a very strong energy?
The spirit. Like, the investigators were saying, like, yeah, this is a recent passing because he has a very strong energy.
Oh, okay.
During this investigation, one of the members claimed to have caught a glimpse of a young man with a large head wound that exposed his cranium. Today, you can visit the museum for the price of about $2 to $3 US. The property promptly closes at 5 p.m. because supposedly the paranormal activity usually starts around that time.
Damn.
So, I know this episode like spoke a lot about suicide, and that can be triggering to many. So I wanted to end it by mentioning that I am providing a resource if you or someone you know may be struggling with these thoughts. The phone number for the suicide hotline is 988, which is actually the same in the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. If you reside in another part of the world and are struggling with these thoughts, I absolutely urge you to look up your country's suicide hotline. That was my case.
Wow.
That was very fast.
I kind of knew that hotel, but I didn't know that there was so much like paranormal activity that happened there.
Yeah.
That people see like people jumping off the cliff and stuff like that very often.
Or they see them like roam around. I think there was like a huge effort to try to like hush those stories down a lot.
Uh-huh.
Because essentially, it's a business, it's a museum, so they want to attract people for the right quote unquote reasons. So I think it's just marketing purposes. So
interesting.
Any questions?
Nope.
It was interesting. It was an interesting read. I felt like I tried to get a lot of information as I could. I really wanted to get like a personal encounter or something like that, like uh-huh. someone's own experience there. But I couldn't find anything. So, and recently I've been wanting to do more of like more cases coming from like South America.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of that we do is from Mexico, only because it's like the one we're like more familiar with. But yeah, I really want to do more cases in South America. So.
Okay. Anyways, what do you have for the palate cleanser?
Yeah, sorry. That was kind of a heavy topic. So there, I have a few things. I did want to start with something that we actually forgot to mention last year.
Okay.
You brought this up, actually.
Okay.
That we saw a ghost before Halloween.
Yeah.
Do you want to share that?
I guess, yes, I can. Okay. So, we were going to our friend's house for a Halloween party, and it was literally just, like, her immediate family, and, like, so it was, like, super low-key.
Mm-hmm.
We drove by a casino, and this casino has a parking lot across the street where we were driving. And her neighborhood is right after the casino. And so we see a man walk across the street. Normal.
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds later, another man walks across the street. And what did you say? You were like, oh, I was about to hit that man?
Yeah, something like that.
And I was like, that's not a man. And you were like, what? And I was like, where did that man go? Look around.
We turned around and like there was nothing.
There was nothing.
And the thing is
it was like, a mist in the form of a guy walking in front of the car.
Our friend kind of lives kind of out very
rural.
Rural. It was yeah, like a rural. It's not like out in the country or anything, but it is a rural setting. So we could see like just fields. We saw fields. And so it's not like someone could have just like ran really fast. Like, we would have been able to see them. We turned around, we would have been able to see them.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was nothing. And I remember I saw him run across the street. I was like, this fucking bitch wants to get fucking hit so bad.
And that's when I was like, look again. That wasn't a man. It was because I was literally, it I was like
a person.
I was like, I'm not believing what I'm seeing right now. There's a mist in the form of a man walking in front of the car.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was some dude
in front of the car. Yeah. I'm like, this is fucking crazy. I can't believe this is happening. I wish we had a dash cam. And then he's like, that guy's going to get hit. And I was like, that guy already got hit. He's dead. Look again. That was so fucking creepy.
Yeah, that was wild. That was wild. I think I kind of teased this in one a previous episode, but someone wanted me to talk about it. When I met A.B. Quintanilla, I didn't meet him, okay? Let me start there. I didn't meet him.
False advertisement. Sue him.
I didn't. So here's what happened. So when I was a wee lad, I went to Six Flags. And back in my day, I had a flip phone. So I really wasn't into a lot of music in Spanish. So before then, you could say A.B. Quintanilla, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? But I went to Six Flags, and while I was there, I remember that they had like some type of event, and there was just like a huge crowd of people. So for me, I'm like, I don't want to be part of that. So I went around the group of people, but I went like into like a little tent thing. It wasn't blocked off or anything, but it was just like one of those, like, it looks like sticks with like a covering over it. That's it. So I went around it, and there was this guy there, and I think he was like signing stuff. And we both kind of just looked at each other like, what the fuck? And I just kept going. That's it. And when I got home is when I finally got service. And I remember I had like several missed calls, like several text messages. And remember, this is like the flip phone era. So it's like I had to wait for my text message to download. So I had some text messages from like my cousins that were like, you went to Six Flags and A.B. Quintanilla is there. Did you see him? And I was like, who the fuck is that? So yeah, that's it.
A.B. Quintanilla.
That was not very
anticlimactic.
It wasn't that exciting. I'm sorry.
You didn't even know who he was.
Yeah, I was like, who's this man? And speaking of, actually, speaking of Selena, I guess, Yolanda Salivar is out? No, right? There was something that was happening with her.
I thought you were going to talk about Hello Kitty.
What the
fuck? Somebody found a Hello Kitty Selena the other day, and they posted it on TikTok.
Her name is Yolanda Salivar. Sorry. Selena killer Yolanda Salivar begs for release. Oh, no, I didn't know that about the...
That's crazy, because a lot of people feel some type of way about her, and she really feels safe. Not that I'm saying that we would do anything to her, but like a lot of people have claimed that if they see her somewhere, they're going to do something to her.
Yeah. So there is a Yolanda Salivar documentary that came out recently. That's what it was. It came out recently. It was on air, so it wasn't like streamable or anything. But it was February 17th, so like last month. It's called Selena and Yolanda, The Secrets Between Them. But, I mean, honestly, like, how many more times are we going to have to listen to this again? Like, at this point, it doesn't even matter. Like, we know she killed her.
Yeah. There's always a lot of weird conspiracy theories around Selena's death, but I'm not here to talk about those things.
Well, supposedly I thought she was getting I thought Yolanda Salivar was getting like a TV series, is what I was under the impression. I didn't know it was like a documentary thing. If anyone has seen it, let us know. Is it good?
There was a lady on TikTok that gave the play-by-play last month. Oh my God. And she's like, I watched it so you don't have to.
Real.
And she was talking about how like a lot of the conspiracy theories, like, Yolanda was leaning into them, that she wasn't the one that shot Selena, that the dad had something to do with it, that et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to get into it, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, I'm shook, because I don't know if I talked about this on the last episode, but when Kevin posted the video on TikTok, people were shook that he had his voice, and it wasn't the other way around. Do you remember that?
What? I didn't say anything on the TikTok.
Where did you post your voice talking? And people were like, I thought you were the guy that had the other voice. I'm the fat guy in the pictures, all right? You guys, I'm Andres. Kevin is the cholo looking one that's thinner.
Cholo?
Yes. The one with the good eyebrows.
Dude, I'm literally just the baby.
That's him. Nasally voice. That's Kevin.
Nasally?
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, because our prima was shook. She was like, I thought you guys were flip-flop. Like, she thought you had my voice and I had your nasally voice.
Oh, it was because I was talking about our how we were going to Austin for the BIPOC symposium.
Yeah.
And then I said that I was fucking fighting for my life having to record it. I feel like I'm bad at the camera. And that's probably why it took so long for us
to do TikTok.
To do TikTok. Because it's like, I'm so bashful. I have to keep doing everything like 20 times.
So. I'm so cute.
Okay.
I'm such a little thing. Just a little skinny thing.
When you're being mean to me, this is who you're being mean to.
A little kitty.
It's a little speck. It's a little speck on Horton Hears a Who.
It looks, no, a little kitty with some Oakleys.
What the
fuck? And a buzz cut.
What the fuck? Speaking of how I look, we go gym often, but not as often as we should. We do not.
Quit fucking playing. We haven't been in like a week. Not as often as we should.
Hold on. Don't yell at me.
Who's yelling?
You.
Who's yelling?
We go gym sometimes, but not all the time as often as we should.
Uh-huh.
And I told them that I said, like, my body was built to sell tortas de chilaquiles at a poste in Mexico City. I was not built for an office job. I was not built to live here. I'm out of my element.
I was built to walk those streets.
What the fuck does that mean?
In Mexico City.
Bitch, you're not even from there.
Mexico, in general, I love walking. I love the walkability of Mexico.
In Durango?
Not the country, just the towns.
Ah. So what was your body built for in Durango?
Eating tortillas de harina.
Interesting. Yes, yes.
Yeah, eating... did you know? I didn't know this. Mm-hmm. Requesón. Do you know what requesón is?
No.
Bitch, that's homemade cottage cheese.
I don't like that.
I love that. Give me like a little tortilla with like requesón beans and like some chile pasado and like a little bit of salt. That shit is good. Delicious. Okay. I was built to have
homemade cottage cheese,
cholesterol, and diabetes. That's what it is.
Yeah, I was built to not do that. Instead, I was built to yell.
Yeah.
It's like, pase joven, pase.
That's not loud enough.
Sorry.
That's not aggressive enough.
I'm bashful.
That's not sing-songy enough either. Keep working on it.
Oh my god. Someone hit on me at the bar the other day. You were there, right? Do you remember that?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
So we went out to this arcade bar nearby.
Uh-huh.
We went out with some of your coworkers.
Oh, was that lesbian?
She was not a lesbian.
Oh.
Why would she be hitting on me if she was a lesbian?
Lesbians hit on you a lot. Like the one that bought you a beer that one time we went to a drag show.
She wasn't hitting on me. We were besties.
I don't know.
She was so cool. She had these fucking thick ass like Osiris era skater shoes. They weren't Osiris, but they looked like them. And they just said like smoke something. Marijuana 420. Just something like generic. And I'm like, she's so cool. And I'm like, girl, how do you compliment a woman like that? I was like, girl, your shoes are so slay or something. I don't know. Yeah. I was a few drinks in already. and she's like, thanks, man. What's your drink of choice? And I was like, I don't know, Bud Light.
Michelob Ultra.
And what the fuck? Bud Light and a Long Island. That's my go-to.
And she bought you both.
And she did. She was such an icon for that. I was like, slay, mama.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. But anyway, we went out to the Boars, and I was about to, you know, tab out, and this lady approaches me. I wasn't even looking at her, but she was looking at me. And she's like, hey. And I kind of like glanced at her. I was like, hey. And I'm just waiting for that person to bring back, like, my card and a receipt. And the lady's like, no English? Español? But she was a white woman talking to me. So, Español? I was like, what the fuck does she mean?
She said, Mexican. She said, brown.
She called me something else in her head.
Mexican.
Just kidding.
Frijol.
But she's like, where are you from? And I was like, Chicago. I speak English. And she's like, oh. To me, I, like, you're not going to go anywhere, girl. I'm sorry. Hitting on me is like talking to a squirrel.
Can you just finish the story instead of squirreling away?
That was it. That was it.
So she said, hey, and that was it? That conversation looked a little longer than just, hey.
I said something like,
go ahead. Tell everybody what she said.
She said, no English, Espanol, where are you from? And then I said, oh, yeah, I'm from Chicago. And it's like, oh, okay. And I was just kind of like waiting there. And as soon as they gave me my card, I like turned around and I left. And she's like, have a good night. I was like, okay. But yeah, that was so scary. I hate when people hit on me. I don't know what to do with my hands. But I was going to say, like,
wow, she was definitely hitting on you.
Girl. You didn't see the look she was giving me. Anyway, as I was saying, hitting on me is like talking to a squirrel. Like, there's not a lot going on. I'm just thinking about nuts.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Clap.
Embarrassing.
I guess my last one, and we can call it a night. So this is the last one, but it is kind of important.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen a lot of coverage on it.
Okay.
So one of our listeners, Eva, actually shared with us about the fires in Oaxaca that are burning. Did you know about this?
No, go ahead and tell us, please.
That's the thing. I didn't know about it until she brought it up, but I Googled it, and there are a few resources that are like talking about it, but it's very, very few. So there have been wildfires in the state of Oaxaca in Mexico that have burned more than 400 acres. They affected the towns of San Lucas, Chiavani, San Felipe, and San Pablo Huila, specifically affecting the Zapotec community. And as of the day that she told me, which I posted on Instagram, and I do apologize that I don't remember how long ago that was. But as of then, 5 individuals have actually died from the fires.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, the federal government wasn't really providing the relief that they needed to.
Resources or relief, right?
Yeah, because I mean, they are in like a kind of like a rural area, but I feel like primarily it is because it's a Zapotec community.
They're not trying as hard.
They're obviously not trying. Yeah. So we did post like a link to that, and I can definitely post it again. But I absolutely urge people to look into it because I've not seen any coverage on it.
Yeah, we'll post it again. Do you know what's causing the fires? Like droughts or what is it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So, as of March 4th, more than 700 acres of Oaxaca's Tlacolula Central Valley have been affected. And the Zapotec community fighting the fires are working with the bare minimum equipment. So, yeah, I thought I wanted to end that the episode with like kind of a more serious and a more like important message.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just like goofy stuff that we say. But yeah, I really don't have anything else to say at the moment.
So. Okay, me neither. We'll see you guys on the next episode then.
Yep, it'll be at the end of March.
Yes.
I don't know if we will have an episode or have episodes in April.
We'll have an update on the next episode.
Yeah, we haven't really decided because that April is the month that we are moving. So yeah,
we're about to be hitting it hard.
We don't know if we're going to. And if we do take a break, it'll probably be just for a month.
Yeah. Oh, and also, thank you to everyone. Kevin expressed how he was stressed because he couldn't find a job or we were going to be jobless. And a lot of you have been like, come work with me.
Oh,
come sit next to me.
I don't know if you guys would want me to work with you.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
I'm just bad at interviews. I can do any job. I'm just bad at interviews.
Oh, they fired him because he stirred the pot too much. Referring to myself. Yeah, he was very chismoso. They got him out of here.
Well, what would you get fired for? Being chismoso?
Fucking stirring the pot?
What would I get fired for?
Being rude?
No. Absolutely. I would just say that to my recruiter friends that are listening. Yeah. That's not true.
Anyways, thanks for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at Spooky Podcast and on Twitter at Spooky Pod. Also, email us any story suggestions or your own scary stories at GetSpookyPodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Taylor Turner for the artwork and Kyle Fields for the intro music. Don't forget to tell someone you love how much they mean to you. And follow our TikTok.
Yeah, follow our TikTok at GetSpookyPodcast.
We haven't added it to the outro notes, so I don't have the link.
Sorry.
Or the...
But we'll try to have more stuff.
Yeah.
We'll think of something.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.